Welcome to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast, part of the center's efforts to cultivate dialogue about university teaching and learning among faculty, students, and staff. I'm your host, Rhett McDaniel, educational technologist here at the center. The CFT is producing a special series of podcasts highlighting student projects over a variety of disciplines. In this episode, CFT Director Derek Bruff attends a poster session where he talks with two first-year biology students about their research project investigating the effects of antheridiogen, a pheromone which determines the germination rates of maleness in sea ferns. We join Derek now on the floor of the poster session.
Let's start with your full name and your year and your major.
Okay, my name is Angel Lin. I am a freshman, and I am majoring in molecular cellular biology and Spanish.
And you are?
I'm Rebecca Wang. I'm a first-year student, and I'm majoring in biological sciences.
Okay. And can one of you give me a little snapshot of your project here?
Yes. Our project is basically to determine the effects of antheridiogen on the germination rates of our organism, which is the Ceratopsis richardii, more commonly known as the sea fern. And
that second long word was a sea fern. What was the first long word that you mentioned?
Ceratopsis richardii, which is the scientific name for our organism.
Okay. And what were you doing to these organisms?
We sowed the spores and we tested the effects of antheridiogen on the germination rate of the spore. Antheridiogen is a chemical that is secreted by the hermaphrodites of these organisms, and previously literature has shown that antheridiogen actually causes maleness in this organism, and so we wanted to see what other effects antheridiogen would have on our sea fern.
Okay. And what did you find?
We actually, we ran a chi-square contingency test on our results. We had four subgroups. We had one set of spores where we added antheridiogen, one where we added additional sea fern media, which is the like nutrients or the media in which the spores are grown in, water, and a dry group, which had no additional substance added to it. And we did not find significance when we ran our chi-square contingency test. However, there is a clear trend that shows that antheridiogen did have an effect. We just didn't find significance necessarily, and there were some factors in our experiment that could have played into that. We had a poor germination rates with our spores, only 125 out of 400 germinated, so that could have contributed to our results. When we observed our spores on day 7 for growth, some spores had already germinated, so they could have germinated earlier than that. We don't know. So if we took these factors into consideration, we may indeed see significance if we ran this experiment again.
And clarify for me, what were you measuring in the four different groups?
We were measuring initial gametophyte growth rate, and we quantified this by development of a rhizoid. So if there is if there was a rhizoid that developed, then that was the way of measuring, that was our way of quantifying whether or not the gametophyte had grown on that certain day or not.
What's a rhizoid?
A rhizoid is like the first part of the plant that emerges from a spore and eventually develops into the root, and it contributes to the development of the gametophyte.
Let me ask you a couple of questions about this course and this semester and kind of the process here. What was it like starting a course where you weren't quite sure what project you were going to be completing by the end of the course?
We had a lot of room to experiment and to change our experiment and to decide what we wanted to test. We ran pre-trials to gather initial data, and then we used that to form our official experiment. So that is that's one of the positive sides of this course.
What was challenging about doing this project, given that it was somewhat open-ended?
We started with 8 people in our group, and we split off into 2 groups of 4. I guess just working together with the 4 people in our groups, we often had different ideas at times, and we had to find a compromise, and we had to overcome some barriers we had in designing our experiment at first. We went through a lot of trial and error. We had our pre-trial, and we made some changes with that. So I guess just working together, combining all our ideas, along with our mentor, Charles, who helped us along the way, I think that was probably one of the most challenging parts of this course.
I'm wondering, were you able to draw on things you had learned in previous courses to help you complete this project?
It was kind of the reverse, actually. We learned a lot of things in this course that helped us in our normal lecture class, I found. We did talk about sporophytes and gametophytes and the life cycle of ferns in our normal lecture, so that was an interesting correlation.
During fall semester, we took another lab course that was that coincided with our biological sciences lecture, and part of that class dealt with running an experiment, writing up the results of it, presenting the experiment through a paper that was very similar to this course. So we kind of had an idea of what it was. It was just that this would now be our entire course instead of a very small part of it as it was last semester.
I guess you had a choice between the C-section and the regular B-section. What drew you to this version of the second semester of the lab as opposed to the other one?
For me, I like to have a lot more freedom. And when I think like biology lab, I think I'm running an experiment, I'm finding results, I'm gathering data. And first semester, it was a lot more by the book and not really what I expected until we reached the part where we ran our own experiment on antibacterial soap.
One last question. What do you think you've learned this semester that you'll use in your future work here at Vanderbilt?
We've learned basic experimental design, and then of course the follow through afterwards of the running statistical tests and of course writing the paper and then doing the poster. So I definitely think I'll use that in the future.
I think definitely remaining accountable and making sure that you can count on your other group members. Often there were weeks where we had to come in every single day. Our group members had to come in every single day. We had to make sure that everyone was gathering the data because our experiment took a span of 2 weeks, so if we messed up, we would be 2 weeks behind, and we just couldn't afford that sort of time with just a semester course. So we had to make sure that we were accountable, that our group members were accountable. So I think that that's a useful thing to have for the future.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for talking with me.
Thanks for listening to the Vanderbilt University Center for Teaching podcast. You can view the show notes as well as leave comments or questions about this episode by visiting cft.vanderbilt.edu/blog/podcasts. If you'd like to share your thoughts, we encourage you to stop by our website and join the discussion. Vanderbilt instructors are also welcome to call the Center for Teaching at 322-7290 to arrange a meeting with a CFT consultant to talk about ways you can incorporate student projects in your class. Thanks again for listening. I've been your host, Rhett McDaniel.